Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Licensing Subcommittee. My name is Brendan McEwen, and I will be chairing this meeting. If you have a mobile phone, switch it to silent or switch it off, whichever suits you best. So we will be considering just one application this morning, and I'll just go around the room to introduce people. On my left is Councillor Anne Edgeler.
County Councillor Anne Edgeler, County Councillor for Stafford South East and Borough Councillor for Bassage Ward.
And on my right is Councillor Julie Reid.
I'm a Councillor for Whipping Cross and Warwood.
Lucy Taylor-Bryan from Legal Services.
Scott Kearney, Senior Licensing Officer for Crown Trace Council.
I'm a Brigham Licensing Officer.
I'm Holly from Christian Hall.
Okay, thank you, Holly. Okay, then we'll begin. Someone's going to present this. Scott.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. The purpose of today's report is to consider an application for a variation of a premises licence to increase the area of licensable activities. On the 30th of July 2025, the Council received an application for a full variation of a premises licence held for Bishton Hall, Ballymore Lane, Wolseley Bridge, Stafford. The application was submitted via Mr. Charles Hanson, Director of the Premises Licence Holder, which is a company, Hanson's Auctioneers and Valuers Limited. The current licence has been in effect since the 16th of June 2021. The variation details are as follows. To extend the current licensed area to include the adjacent field space, thereby increasing the capacity for all licensable activities already granted under the current premises licence, with no change to the current timings. The current licensable activities and timings applied to be extended across the additional outdoor area are the performance of plays Monday to Sunday from 10 till 11 o'clock at night, the exhibition of films, the performance of live music, the playing of recorded music, the performances of dance, the activities like musical dance, and the supply of alcohol, all again, which are the same Monday to Sunday from 10 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. The hours that the premises are open to the public are Monday to Sunday from 9 in the morning till 23 hours and 59 minutes just before midnight. Three relevant representations have been received during the consultation period from local residents, who are concerned as to the potential impact of noise from the proposed extension to the licensed area, largely due to the location and its lack of natural noise dampening boundaries, which the current area has in small part with the hall itself and the surrounding trees. There are some issues with the types of events currently being held and the use of fake guns and cannons, which cause disruption with very loud and unsettling bangs for the local community and wildlife, and the use of an auctioneer's PA system, which is believed will only worsen disruption when extended across the more exposed area. In addition to noise, there are concerns regarding public safety and antisocial behaviour caused by the exit of intoxicated patrons from the premises onto unlit roadways where they may be unsafe or cause disruption to the local area. These objections relate to three of the licensing objectives: the prevention of public nuisance, public safety, and the prevention of crime and disorder. There have been no objections from any of the responsible authorities. As part of the process, it has come to light that upon reviewing the representations, no public nuisance complaints have been raised against the premises within the last 4 years. The last complaint was received in August 2021, subsequently closed in September 2021, following a wedding that took place under extended hours, licensed through a temporary event notice. It is also noted that two of the objectors to this current variation also objected to the original premises licence application. A copy of the original application representation can be made available, but it is not directly linked to the matter before committee today. In the all the information in italics is provided by way of background only. The licence holder has been made aware of the objections raised in Appendix 4 and confirmed to the council that the wedding was a one-off temporary event with a later finished time than the current licence. Upon review, there was no action taken by the council regarding the noise emissions as they were considered within acceptable levels. Additionally, the increased noise from an auctioneer's PA system, based on information from the licence holder, related to the filming of a television programme, Bargain Hunt, at the premises to raise money for children in need. That the firing of fake guns and cannons is not a licensed activity. However, the relevant authorities, that being Staffordshire Police, were notified of the event in advance as required. The committee should note that the original application was determined by a previous committee and the licence granted is at Appendix 3. The committee has not been asked to look into the previous application or representations. The documents relating to the application, including the application for the variation of the premises licence, the site map, which highlights the current licensed area in green, and the proposed extended area in red, and representations are attached as appendices. Appendix 1 is the premise licence application for a full variation. Appendix 2 is a site plan of Bishton Hall, currently, and the proposed extension. Appendix 3 is the current premises licence, and Appendix 4 is a copy of the representations that have been received. Previous consideration, the original application was taken to committee and received a decision on the 16th of June 2021. Human Rights Act 1998 implications. Article 6 of the Act provides that where a person's civil rights and obligations are being considered, the person is entitled to a fair trial. The council complies with Article 6 and that it gives the person the opportunity to state their case, will make a decision within a reasonable period of time, and will give reasons for its decision. The article also provides for the issue to be determined by an independent tribunal. The right of appeal to Magistrates Court against the council's decision fulfills this. The council observes that the rules of natural justice and its procedures are consistent with Article 6 of the Human Rights Act 1998. It is recommended that the licensing subcommittee consider the application for the variation to this premises licence and considers whether to grant the variation as applied for or whether to add or amend conditions as deemed appropriate, taking into account the representations. Background papers are available if required. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I think I forgot to mention that this meeting is being recorded and will be available on the Borough Council website in due course. Do we have anyone who made a representation who wishes to speak? No? So I'm assuming we go straight now to the representative of the applicant. Holly from Bishton Hall.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I've never done this before, so bear with me.
I've
worked for Charles Hampson at Bishton Hall for the past 3 years. So any events that have happened in the last 3 years would have been under my management. The field that we bought separately to Bishton Hall was previously used as a car park. We rented it off the farmer. You know, and we gave the money to the volunteers who helped look after the grounds. When the field became available to buy, we obviously had meetings and discussions and felt that it was appropriate for us because when we hold events within the grounds at Bishton Hall, we don't really have a lot of parking, and that's when we tend to get that overflow that's a bit of a worry because it's not a big road, Bellamore Road, and we haven't got a lot of space. So we bought the field in the view that we could keep the cars, you know, the traffic basically lighter within Bishton and keep them off the road. Obviously buying a field comes at a big cost, so we've started to try and look at small events that we could hold in there, you know, that don't need the license, for example. But it's become apparent that some of the events we hold, obviously we do need the premises license. the events that I've hosted in the last 3 years, just to give you some context, are craft markets, you know, classic car meets with maybe 50 cars, but all very, you know, we have a lot of traffic control and everybody drives in one way, out the other way, all parking, public parking is in the field, so very sort of organised. We do have some musical events, obviously. We have like Beyond the Barricade who come and perform West End snippets of different theatre shows and things like that. But again, the field is used for parking to stop that overflow of traffic, really. I'm really conscientious of what I do when it comes to the premises licence. I've been a personal licence holder. I've owned my own venue in the past, so I'm very always ringing and asking questions and making sure we're doing the right thing. Obviously, the representations, we're here to help at the end of the day. We're not trying to sort of make enemies of the local residents. We want to help. We want to make sure they're happy. I'm on site most days at Bishton and always available if someone wants to come in. You know, if they've got any worries, concerns, I'm always there, basically. I'm there more than I am at home. And I'm kind of the person at Bishton. If there's something, if there's a question to be asked, it's, oh, ask Holly. So, I guess with the field, it, obviously we would be looking at maybe slightly bigger events, but again, you know, traffic control, we'd look after the security side of it. We've got no immediate plans for any large events. It's just something that we want to do on the basis that something may come to us that we can go ahead and do. We have had an inquiry for like a mini children's festival that would run a Saturday and a Sunday, 10 till 5, for example. So obviously we'd have little bits of music, bouncy castle, obviously, you know, alcohol, things like that, if obviously this goes ahead. That's it, really. I mean, obviously I'm here to help. I want to help the residents. I don't want to make an enemy of anybody.
Question?
Councillor
Edgerton. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's one thing that when I read the report did concern me about the car parking. You know, do you have attendants on duty to signpost people where to park,
yes,
and where to go and what have you?
Yeah.
That's one thing, so that seems to be taken care,
yeah,
of. The other thing was about, do you inform residents if you're going to have a function, like you say, you've got nothing in the pipeline and pop, and it's lovely to hear about children and doing a function,
yeah,
for children, but do you inform residents if you have,
we
you're having a big...
We inform them, like, as in, like, posting something through their door, because I didn't realise we were supposed to, but it always goes out on the website, it always goes out on all of our social media,
yeah,
channels and things.
I think, you know, the immediate residents, it would be good, you know, if you could, when you do have an event, that you do put a leaflet or something from the door,
okay,
so they are aware,
yeah,
you know. And and the other thing that concerns me is the lighting. You know, if this road is dimly lit, is there anything that you could do with lanterns or something that would,
so
eliminate
this,
that?
Is just me not knowing, would the road be our responsibility, so Bellamore Lane, would that,
well,
would that...
Not so much so, but like you said, you're here to help, so I'm asking you, can help the residents, or not the residents, but the people that's going,
yeah,
to attend the function, if you could put some sort,
I mean,
of lanterns.
I can't answer for what the, you know, child would say, you know, if that's,
yeah,
something he'd agreed to,
yeah,
but I'm guessing if it's something that we're told we have to do, then obviously we're more than happy to have work with you guys and the residents and make sure obviously everything's,
I'm not asking you
safe,
put street lighting up, but some sort,
yeah,
of lanterns or,
yeah,
something that it just lights the area,
yeah,
up, because I'm really concerned about the lighting,
okay,
so you,
yeah,
know they're my three concerns,
okay,
you know, so I'll pass back to the chair.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I did wonder, you know, there were complaints about the reenactments, so,
yeah,
my question was, do you plan to have more reenactments?
So the reenactment, like, I'll give you a bit of context as to what that event was. So I have a gentleman who I work with numerous times a year. He's called Lee Chapman. He owns a photography business. So the reenactment day wasn't as such a big historical reenactment, you know, like it was a photography workshop.
Uh-huh.
And a small portion of that photography workshop was RAF fighter planes flew over three times, which I think everybody seemed to enjoy. We had a lot of amazing feedback on that. The one gun and the one cannon that were let off were not live, obviously were not live ammunition, they were completely demos, and we did inform the police beforehand. So it's not something that's going to happen every day. It was kind of like a one-off, and I don't know, he might come to me next year and say I don't want to do that again. It's this, if that's something we're not allowed to have, then obviously it won't happen again. If we're told that's not allowed, but obviously I wasn't. I organised the event basically, so hands up. But I informed the police, and I believed that was all.
Yes. Oh yes. Yeah. No, I was wondering. In hindsight, though, you know, informing.
So again, it went out on the website. It went out on all social media channels. I think that particular post had, off the top of my head, around 10,000 views. So it was quite well spread. It also went out on the businesses. So Lee Chapman's own social media.
Yeah.
So it's not, we didn't keep anything a secret or pretend it wasn't happening or anything like that. As I said, I didn't realise it was a thing that I had to inform residents. So if that's something that we're told we need to do, then of course that's something I will do. You know, that's fine.
I'm just saying, I'm in the area.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it. Because I don't follow social media closely.
Yeah.
So you know, for us sort of a certain age.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. And like I said, you know, my bad. I didn't know that was something. If it's something we're told we've got to do to make these things okay and happen, you know, then that's no problem.
Probably being neighbourly, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we'd have to just. I don't know. Obviously, if you're told me I need to do this many houses in this radius, then that's something we could maybe give a monthly flyer out with events coming up or.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah.
What's coming?
Yeah.
Future of it.
Yeah.
Just for clarity, then, the field itself.
Yes.
Will be mainly used for car parking, or will it be the event field?
I think the thing is, we've bought this field, which was quite a large cost to the business. So we've kind of have been set the task of trying to sort of monetize the field a little bit and try and bring some of that cost in, because yes, we need it for parking, and that is the main reason the field was bought, was because basically we wouldn't, if we do events in Bishan, we lose our parking basically, because there isn't, as beautiful as Bishan is, there isn't lots and lots of grounds where you can hold events and parking. So it soon becomes a problem with cars overflowing and parking wherever they can fit. And so we wanted to eliminate that. So the field was bought initially for parking, but obviously we are going to have to do some events in it, hence why we're applying for this, because we need to kind of bring that money back in basically. For it.
Is there anywhere within the field that where you have an event that may be noisy, where it would be least impactful on residents?
So if you look at the way the field is, it's obviously quite straight along the road, and then it kind of goes quite far back and into a corner. You know, obviously I can't guarantee that every event would be small enough to hold at the back of the field, but say for example we had like the Children's Festival I was talking about, the whole field won't be taken up by the Children's Festival because some of it will have to be parking. So I think going the way that in my head that I would do it would be the rear end of the field would be for the event and the front would be for the parking, to try and just move that noise further back. There's a lot more trees at the back, there's a lot more sort of cushioning for example for the noise. So obviously I can't always guarantee that an event would work at the back of the field. We've had a couple of inquiries for like craft markets and artisan things, so not too much noise involved with those anyway. But again, it wouldn't be the whole field because we need some of it for parking at the end of the day, which is quite right why we bought it.
Any more questions?
No, I think. Thank you.
I've got my script now.
Hello.
Okay. What do we do next, Lucy?
It's just whether the licensing officer has any questions.
With regards to the events that you've got planned, I would presume that you risk assess each event in advance.
Yes.
And depending on the size, maybe put an event management plan in place as well.
Yes, yeah, so we have Elliot Frampton is our kind of health and safety like guru as such, and he's the one that comes in and checks. Obviously I had a market for example 2 weeks ago, and he came and checked all fire exits were right, and we have Watson's Fire as well that come in and check all of our fire extinguishers and things. And then we have obviously the risk assessment. I always inform our insurance company of what's going on. We had a dog event not last week and the weekend before, and you know, I was on the phone on the Friday double checking because of the wind and things like that. So I am very, very, very conscientious of everybody's safety, making sure nothing goes wrong, and making sure that everyone's safe, basically, just making sure that everything's running how it should do. I am the main person at Bishton to deal with these things, so there's not kind of like lots of different people, because I think it gets confusing when, you know, you've got five people doing one job and then things can get misconstrued and lost in translation. So, you know, I'm happy to be a contact if there's something that needs to be done, and, you know, there needs to be a contact for residents, for example. You know, I'm in the tea room Monday to Friday, and if I'm not there, they can ring me. So I'm happy for the tea room number, for example, to be given to all residents if that's what needs to happen. So if there's any concerns or worries, they can speak to me direct rather than going
around. How many events might you expect to do?
Yeah.
Well,
my question was actually, how many have you done today, say, over an annual period?
So, this year, for example, if we take 2025, which has been a busy year, so, you know, this is probably the one to base it off. I think we've done maybe, off the top of my head, 8 to 9 car meets, and a couple of cancellations due to great British weather. And we've had the one dog event, I was saying, 3 markets, like seasonal markets. We had like a summer market, we've got a Christmas market coming up, we've got a Halloween fun day coming up. Some of the events that take place, like about a Halloween trail for children, you know, just in the woodland area. So not a great big sort of influx of people. It's just £2 per child, and we put some decorations up and they can come and get some sweets at the end of it. So not all of our events are these big, huge. We're certainly not some kind of venue that's going to have big raves every weekend and, like, you know.
Not Trentham Gardens.
No. In my 3 years of working at Bishton, I have hosted one evening event on the 12th of July this year, which was a 40th birthday party for a resident whose mum and dad lived on Bishton, who live on Bishton Lane. So worked very closely with us, very, very conscientious. You know that everyone had to be kept happy and everyone was off site for 11. A member of staff was there for the whole event to make sure that the whole place was done, dusted, closed and off for 11:30. So, you know, everybody was gone, basically. You know, bar shut, music off for 11 o'clock. And the people who ran the bar, who are one of our tenants at Bishton, were on site making sure that everything was by the book.
Good.
Any more?
No, I'm quite. Yeah.
Looking at the procedure now, I think we have to invite people to leave the room.